Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. And I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy, who looks like was maybe pulling his hair out there in the little picture at the bottom of the screen. So probably the worst game of the year.
Yeah, definitely the worst game of the year.
Certainly in the running. There's been some other real super big stinkers. But
a couple of them. Not too many that challenged that game.
The title of tonight's podcast, Bruce, was is the Oilers commit GM-icide in Los Angeles podcast. Mm-hmm. Because that's what that game was. I mean, I think it was three games ago or two games ago that I said it, like, I'm on board with firing the guy. Uh-huh. And it's hard to imagine, hate to say it, it's hard to imagine the Oilers making the playoffs this year. And they just don't have the horses. I mean, unless Russell could come back, I don't know, even with him back. The players that he picked up, Manning and Petrovic, are just leaking goals against. And this team has no scoring on the wings. It's hard to imagine this team can make the playoffs, Bruce.
Well, tonight they had no nothing. I mean, you're going to ask me for my good thing, and I'm going to give you a tip now. I got nothing good to say about this game, not from an Oilers perspective. Nothing good. I don't think the team competed. I think they got their show run by LA early, and there was a tiny bit of kind of petulance in the late going, but at no point did they sort of get their dander up and play hard hockey between the whistles and at least try and take it to the other guys a little bit. I mean, they were getting pounded on the scoreboard, and they just put their tails between their legs for the most part, and it was a brutal, pathetic effort.
And this is the team that was, in theory, built to beat the big, tough Western Conference team, and now LA is the worst team in the NHL, and they can't even beat them. I mean, Lucic, I mean, I don't want to pile on with Milan Lucic, but he should not be playing, Bruce. He can't play. He can't make a play. And he's not the only guy, of course, who's not getting anything done. I mean, you can name almost any winger on the team. But Lucic, this is the hockey game that he was supposedly brought in for, made for. He can't play anymore. They've got to put him in the press box. That's put him in the press box and see what happens. They've got to do it now. So my good thing is this game was wretched enough, and it was a game that they counted on Lucic enough in, going back to his old team, LA, and the fact that he was part of a nothing physical response in that team is to me maybe the thing that will push them to say, okay, we're going to sit him. We've had enough. We're going to play other players now and see what happens. So that's the good thing. I think they might finally do that.
They got a 22-hour turnaround between tonight's face-off and tomorrow's, which is like the minimum that is allowed in the CBA. They start at 6 o'clock tomorrow, our time, after 8 o'clock tonight. So going with fresh legs seems obvious. Now, in tonight's game, Lucic had zero shot attempts. He was on the ice for 11 minutes, and the Oilers mustered one shot in that entire time. He had one hit. Like, what's he there for? I thought it at least was to bring the physicality. And instead, what I saw was a cheap elbow of Oscar Fantenberg behind the play and a bit of a after-whistle scrummage with, I'm not sure if it was Leipzig. Austin Wagner or Sean.
Yeah, Wagner.
Behind the net, and he cross-checked some guy on the line change, and then he got into a slashing contest with Brendan Leipzig and wound up taking 14 minutes in penalties. In the meantime, Drew Doughty, who elbowed Connor McDavid in the mush in the first period, was openly laughing about it from the bench. Nobody ever said a word to the guy. And I mean, that's on the whole team, but it's especially on Milan Lucic. You just cannot allow that if you're supposedly a team leader and here to bring the heavy, hard game. Where the hell is it?
Well, I'm always full of useful suggestions, Bruce, on how to improve the team. So I'm going to go back to what I made a few days ago. They should bench Brodziak, bench Lucic, and bring up that grind line. Try that grind line out. I mean, I haven't actually minded Gambardella. At least he hustles his butt off when he's on the ice. Mm-hmm. Patrick Russell, Malone and Gambardella. Apparently, they've been playing the top lines and playing them well at the AHL level. Send a message, bench Lucic, bench Brodziak, and figure out one other suspect and put that line in there as your fourth line and see what happens. Can't be any worse. And
it's tricky on paper, but at this point, they might be able to waive a guy or two, and probably, especially with the contracts they have, nobody's going to touch them.
No one's going to, you know, you could waive, you know, you could send Spooner to the minors.
Yeah, nobody would touch that contract.
Nobody touched that contract. You could send Lucic to the minors. Well, you can't because he's got a no movement clause. You could send Brodziak to the minors, Bruce.
Potentially.
And no one would touch that contract. He's got another year left. He can't, you know, can't play. Okay. Sorry.
So that was your good thing?
That was actually. Okay. My bad thing. My bad thing is that almost all the players that we've mentioned are not just here for one more year. They're here. They've got multi-year contracts. So Brodziak has another year. Lucic has multi-years. Mm-hmm. They were probably hoping they could get to the next CBA negotiation where there might be a buyout that you get for free and doesn't account against your cap and use that on Lucic. I don't know if they can wait past this summer anymore. I don't think they can. And then there's Brandon Manning, like who I was kind of holding off on commentary for. And, oh God, Bruce, like he's hopefully there's going to be more in that. He's just making bad decisions. He on the, what was it? The second goal, he can't get the puck out of simple play up the boards. He can't get it out.
Nobody near him.
He can't get it out. And then on the next one, he's like, I like defensemen who pinch, but come on, he's caught way out of position and everybody else is too. And another goal.
The three forwards are all down below the bottom of the faceoff circles, all three of them. That's probably not the time to be pinching, or at least you better be bloody sure about it. And he wasn't. The puck got by him, and it was like 170-foot two-on-one.
Yeah, there was all kinds of terrible plays on all those goals against. Mm-hmm. And those were certainly some of them. Where are we? Are we on your bad thing?
It's my bad thing turn. And my bad thing is a wide scale bad thing. And it's the supporting cast of the Edmonton Oilers that have been assembled by Peter Chiarelli. And I'm going to do two different parts of it. One is the defense core that Andrew Sekar went down in August. Mm-hmm. And so far they brought in five defensemen. They brought in Jakub Jerebik, who proved inadequate in training camp, and they traded him. They brought in Jason Garrison, who proved inadequate in a somewhat lengthy trial, and they traded him. They brought in Chris Weidman, who proved inadequate, and they traded him back out. And then the two latest experiments are Alexander Petrovich and Brandon Manning, and they're still here. They haven't had time to sort of judge and trade them yet. But, I mean, it looks like five for five of guys that can't get the job done. Petrovich was -3 tonight. Manning was -2. Between them, they were on the ice for one Oilers shot on net and multiple goals against. And just the play going the wrong way. So that's the defense. And then up front, the Oilers had tonight, they had 16 shots on net. 16 shots on net. Eight of them were by defensemen. The forwards combined for 8 shots. Connor McDavid had 4. Leon Draisaitl had 2. Jujhar Khaira had 1. Ryan Nugent Hopkins had 1. But what those guys have in common is they were all here, at least the lottery pick that became McDavid was all here the day Peter Chiarelli arrived. And the other 8 forwards that played tonight, Ty Ratty, Toby Reeder, Ryan Spooner, Milan Lucic, Kyle Brodziak, Alex Chiasson, Zach Kassian, Jesse Puljujärvi. 8 out of the 8 acquired by Peter Chiarelli as a supporting cast to build around his big stars. The 8 of them combined for 0 shots on net. 8 forwards with no shots. Like, that is just so much beyond pathetic. I mean, I'm almost beside myself. Like, I expected decent effort and a credible showing from my team, and I got none of it tonight. And as a fan, I'm upset, I'm disappointed, I'm angry, and I want to see some action.
I'm starting to feel sorry for the clipboards in your general vicinity, Bruce.
Well, I didn't do any damage to clipboard tonight. Winning late winning goals. That's what or tying goals. That's what does the clipboards in. This was just one game. It was obviously hopeless from the early going. So I just sort of drifted into despair while the game was in process. But the more time I've had to think about it, the more pissed off I'm getting it.
I couldn't stand to watch it. Putrid effort. I was kind of watching, barely paying attention, just looking for the scoring chances. And, that was, I was coaching tonight. And
your team put up a lot better effort than that.
We certainly did. Yeah. Good. We came back from a deficit and won the game. But our game ended at about 9:00. And I looked, of course, at my cell phone thinking I'm going to go home now and watch this game. And it was first period. Three goals against. And I just started to curse. And that was my night. But I was a spoiler. I told everyone the score, so then everyone was mad. But maybe I spared them from watching that game.
Well, maybe. If you did, you did them a favor.
I think, yeah. That was... God. So... Who are they going to go with tomorrow night, Bruce? Koskinen or Talbot?
Well, I think they're going to go with Talbot. But probably. Who knows? I mean,
you know what? I didn't see
Koskinen wasn't really like, their fault. They hung him out to dry.
Yeah, I didn't like Koskinen. Like their glove hand Koskinen. There's something with the glove hand, Bruce. They're beating him repeatedly there, right? Mm-hmm. How many times have we seen it? And I'm just, we're starting to see it. Again and again and again and again and again. As much as we've seen Leon Draisaitl's name in scoring goals, we see Koskinen.
When Kyle Clifford starts beating you from the slot.
Nonetheless, they were all fairly difficult chances, was the goal against Dontel, but I had them all as A chances, so I didn't fault Koskinen on any of them. We might see Koskinen, but I think you're probably right. We'll probably see Talbot. Who cares?
See the Oilers, I mean, it doesn't matter if you haven't got a team in front of them. I mean, they got a real short turnaround time. And
Hitch has got to earn his money here, Bruce. This is where he says he earns his money in these turnaround moments.
He sounded pretty pretty bitter after the game, and I wouldn't like to be in his crosshairs, I have to say. Like, I suspect that there'll be a dressing down, and there needs to be.
Well, I'd say a lot of players were playing themselves out of NHL careers, but they've all got caught. Contracts for next year.
David, we've been saying that since 2009-10.
I know. We've been right repeatedly. Numerous players.
Sullivan and Jim Vandermeer and guys like that, right? And it's still the same. Cam Barker. It's still the same, yeah.
Cam Barker.
Oh, man.
Keith Ollie. Will Acton.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of guys where when they leave Edmonton, the next time you see him is in the Spengler Cup about 3 years later.
Yeah, Eric Bélanger.
Yeah.
Ooh, Bruce.
You got a number for us?
Oh, yeah, my number is 1. That was the number of even strength chances that the Edmonton Oilers had.
1.
They had 4 chances in total, 3 of them on the power play. If you had a good thing, there was 2 good things, I thought. There was the power play looked okay at times. And Chiasson at least hacked that Carter after he hacked McDavid. That was the one sign of life. I wish he had punched him in the face.
It was a clean hit by McDavid, and I still thought Chiasson was in the right to go after him because at that point it was just Carter taking a free shot at.
I wish Chiasson had punched him in the head.
Well,
are we allowed to wish that, Bruce? Is that okay?
Well, I doubt.
That would have been a good punch in the face candidate. Yeah. So that's my number 1. 1 even strength chance, which is
putrid.
Yeah. Okay, what's your
48
number?
48 minutes, 1 grade A scoring chance at even strength. I'm going to go with 22, and I've already said the number. 22 hours between puck drop tonight and puck drop tomorrow night, 6 o'clock our time. Minimum turnaround time. The team doesn't travel anywhere. They just go to Anaheim. And they have that amount of time to turn things completely around from what they had tonight. And it's a coin flip to me. Maybe they come out PO'd right from the beginning tomorrow night and say, we know we can show better than that. That was a off game by us. or maybe they're beaten. I don't know. I think we're gonna find a few important clues about this team as early as tomorrow night, and that short turnaround. At least we don't have to dwell on this game too long. I'm already up to number well along in the player grades, because I personally don't plan on dwelling on it too long. But
so Bruce, what strategic changes would you make? Like, if anything, like I've proposed bringing up, like, I understand that this might be just like me venting and might not be possible to bring up all those players, but I would do it. Like, I would do it in a second. Gambardella's already up. Play wrestling. And I just do it as a statement. Like, you can't replace the AHL team with the NHL team. This is the next best thing to do that. And hopefully they can get Russell in and bench Manning.
I hear that. I mean, they need 24 hours to waive a guy. So unless the guy has can be sent down directly without waivers, and I think they have Jesse Puljujärvi, who they could send down. And frankly, after tonight's game, it wouldn't bother me if they did, based off of tonight's poor showing. But on the other hand, you know, singling him out when the whole team stunk is maybe not the right psychological move for the.
I don't think that's. You don't think he was the worst player on the ice tonight?
He wasn't the worst player, but he did nothing.
I know they all did nothing, Bruce.
Nothing. No. They got torched on two.
It's time to. It's time to aim. Take aim at the identity line.
Yeah.
Frankly, like seriously, and
bench one of those guys, and. Bring all three guys that didn't play tonight, put them in the lineup.
Who do they have then? Yamamoto?
Well, he's hurt, and I don't know if he's on IR. He got hurt in his first game up last Saturday. They have
Gambardella.
Gambardella's available. They've got
Russell maybe.
Benning that they benched. Russell maybe. And the roster's in a bit of a flux because they've had, you know, some.
They only have the one forward, right? Because Yamamoto's hurt.
Yeah, I believe that's right. And for me, I'd be benching, I think, probably Lucic out of the crew. Although there's lots of candidates. I'm giving out so many twos tonight, Dave, it'll make your head spin. So many guys that just had no impact on the game at all.
Yeah. Man, even on the last goal, even Nugent Hopkins was lazy on his back check, and Larson was kind of wandering around in the middle of the ice. And no, I don't know what Nurse was doing. Like, Puljujärvi was on the guy coming down the wing. You know, all Nurse has to do is cover the other guy, and there's no goal.
And he just kind of backed.
These were the veterans. I mean, Nurse Larson, some of the veterans played okay, I'd have to say. I didn't mind Nurse and Larson that game. I thought Nurse was. Yep.
Well,
Nurse had a decent game. I'd give him a passing a grade, maybe the only guy.
Nurse and Larson.
Except for that play that he made, so maybe not. Well,
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And, I mean, how many goals did he contribute to? Right? None. Because the whole team, of course, never scored, never really came that close to scoring. So, obviously, I take into account more than simple goals. But when a guy gets burned on a goal and doesn't contribute any, then generally he's starting from a deficit position on his grade.
Bruce, it's always darkest before the dawn.
That's what they say. It's only true when you have a waxing gibbous moon that sets an hour or so before the light starts to come up. Otherwise, it's darkest at midnight.
I realized as soon as I said that to the wrong guy. Let's leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Hang in there. I mean, I don't know what can get much worse than this.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.